Welcome to the Pentecost Today USA podcast. I'm here welcoming a special guest, Sister Nancy Keller, for a special episode. And today we're going to be talking about how to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit. Sister Nancy Keller was born in New York City. She is a Sister of Charity of New York since 1960. And she actually was a history teacher before becoming involved in full-time ministry in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in 1971. She was a member with Father Jim Ferry of the first Catholic Charismatic House of Prayer in the United States and was a founding member of St. Elizabeth Seton House of Prayer in Scarsdale, New York. She is joining us here, and we are very humbled to have her here with us as not only a longtime renewal leader who served in Rome from the office in the Vatican with the ECRIS Council, teaching and networking. She was elected to the International Charismatic Council of the Renewal Services in 1992 and served as director in Rome in 1994 through 1996. Sister Nancy is a worldwide renewal leader in that she has spoken in conferences in 65 countries in Asia, Africa, Europe, and South America, as well as all across North America. And she has authored many different resources for the National Service Committee, which is now Pentecost Today USA. And she is one of our consultants. She walks very closely with the board and council of Pentecost Today USA, as well as with me. So Sister Nancy, we are very humbled to welcome you, and we are excited to see what the Lord has for us. Yes. And Sister Nancy, if we can open in prayer, I'll just invite you to lead us in an opening prayer.
Lord Jesus, we come together in your name today, in the power of your Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. We come before you, Heavenly King, God our Father, Lord Jesus, Spirit of the living God. And we pray that this time be spent under your Lordship. Be glorified in us today as we speak. Be glorified in us as we listen. Be glorified in us as we pray together for more of your Holy Spirit. We say yes to you, Lord Jesus. We say yes to you. Do with us whatever you would have us be and do from this day forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, Heavenly King. Amen.
Amen.
So what would you have me share on?
Sister Nancy, we are excited to have you share on something that you've been coaching me on for, I don't know, probably since I began serving. And it will share with our listeners. So about a year ago, I served at a Brazilian organized women's retreat. It was a charismatic retreat, and it was for those who were part of the Hispanic, Brazilian, Haitian, and English-speaking members of a church. And it was extraordinary. This retreat was just, you could tell it was covered in intercession. There were groups of men throughout the retreat praying in the church. There were groups of men cooking throughout the weekend. There were groups of men serving, helping with setup. And then the women's retreat itself was beautifully led, emceed, and really poured into by those who have been serving the charismatic renewal for many, many years. And so that retreat, I came in just to serve at the retreat. And as I arrived, I was staying with Sister Nancy Keller for the weekend in her house of prayer there in Scarsdale, New York. And the first thing I did as I arrived was to say, Sister Nancy, will you pray for me? And Sister Nancy, you not only prayed for me, but you shared wisdom about how to enter into ministry, and you shared wisdom about how to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so for those who are listening, many of you have been serving in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal for decades. Some of you are just beginning to receive this grace and to experience the Lord sending you out maybe into a new ministry. And so, Sister Nancy, if we can invite you to share with those who are listening about, one, the posture of ministry that you shared with me when I visited, just that experience and that call to bow into the anointing.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know what you mean. And I've learned over the years that when I'm asked to give a talk, that there's an anointing there, and I need to consciously bow into that anointing. Sometimes as I stand before a podium, people will notice me actually bow down. And I've learned that there's a difference between giving a good talk and giving an anointed talk. And it has a lot to do with those moments before you begin to speak, that you actually move into that anointing, acknowledging the anointing of God is around you. It makes a big difference. And so I've always try and remember to do that and to teach other teachers. That's an important part of being an instrument of the Lord. And it's amazing how distracted you can be right before the moment when you're going to speak. And you can forget that very easily, to actually acknowledge the anointing of the Lord over you. So that's the first thing I do. And thank you for remembering that and reminding me of that, Alicia. So, yes. And I understand you want me to talk about praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a group of people or even an individual. So let me first go back and say that before I lead a prayer for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, often I've done this in church halls of people, auditoriums, conferences, where there's a large number of people. And there's a way in which you can do that, let's say from a stage or a podium in some way, where you have everybody praying together, but praying in with a leader leading the prayer. And I say that not so much to explain the prayer as to say this is a combination of realizing that we need structure, but not too much structure. And I found, and as I've gone around the world with people praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for groups of people, sometimes there's no structure at all. It's just free-flowing, and there's no sense of what's happening in terms of what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is Pentecost. Sometimes I've seen experiences with a large group of people, groups pray over them one at a time, and it goes on and on and on for hours without the individual having a prayer for themselves, as this is going on in a large group. So I say that to say I'm going to share some structure, but with the same time, I know you need a structure helps. I often think of the structure as the skeleton of a body, but if you have too much skeleton, that's not good. But on the other hand, if you have no skeleton at all, you have a lot of free flowing and not anything specifically being addressed for the person who you're praying with, and particularly with Pentecost. I often talk about Pentecost as the new Pentecost, baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. Steve Clark just died recently. I discovered, too, that we were born on the same day in the same year. Mm-hmm. But I always quote Steve's first explanation of baptism in the Holy Spirit that I read in his book, and that is a release of the Holy Spirit such that we experience all that God promised of the Holy Spirit. I, since then, find people say, well, that's only talking about the past. So I say a release of the Holy Spirit that we have received in baptism and in confirmation, and a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit for more and more and more of what God wants to give us of the Holy Spirit. And so I go back when I lead the prayer to Pentecost, and I talk about having it first an expectancy of Pentecost, that Pentecost is for everyone, that this is not just for some special people or in special times of their life. Pentecost is for everyone. And so I pray first for an expectancy of the Pentecost, going through a little bit of what happened at Pentecost, the change in the relationship of even Peter with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, that relationship became more personal. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the relationship with God as Father, Spirit being able to say, Abba, Abba, Father, and coming to an expectancy of a new relationship with God as a primary experience that flows out of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but also a prayer that calls us forth as Pentecost. The crowd said to Peter, what do we have to do to receive this Holy Spirit that you have received? And Peter said, repent. Accept Jesus as Lord, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So I take that sentence and I pray it with people as I pray with them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the things I say to the leaders leading that prayer, first of all, is to recognize that, and this may sound strange, but that say that resting in the Spirit is not being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It might accompany the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a manifestation of the Spirit. But I find sometimes when I've been to places and people fall down, everybody assumes they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I say this a little bit kiddingly, but I want to kind of grab them by the collar and say, have you repented and accepted Jesus as Lord? And I think that's very important and very essential that we recognize that that needs to be incorporated into our prayer with people for baptism in the Holy Spirit. I also, when I do this with a large group of people, as some of the leaders will be doing, even a group of 20 people, I say to them, follow my leading. I say to the leaders, stand behind the people, lay your hands on them so there's a personal touch and effect. Lean over and find out their name if you don't know them, so you can pray with them by name. But follow my leading. Don't rush ahead. There's a tendency sometimes with leaders to want to rush into the manifestation of gifts. And that comes, of course. But the basic initial response is to pray for a fresh expectancy of Pentecost, and then respond to Peter's call. Repent, accept Jesus as Lord, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So after praying for an expectant faith, I pray with people to repent. And the way I do this is to actually lead them to respond with me, and then in their own words, to say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I acknowledge myself as a sinner. I acknowledge my need of you. And whatever words the Lord gives you and gives them as words of repentance, and not only repenting, but saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sinfulness. I acknowledge my need of you as my merciful Lord and Savior. And then it's important with that to lead people to pray to accept the mercy of God. And that's very important. There's so many people who don't believe or trust the mercy of God. And accept your mercy, Lord. I forgive myself. I accept your mercy. I let go of, and this helps an awful lot to have people say this after you. No, I accept your mercy, Lord. I forgive myself. I let go of guilt and shame and self-condemnation. All of those things can hold us back from experiencing the release of the Holy Spirit. And then after the prayer of repentance, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and Lord of every part of our life. Again, I have them say this, Lord, I acknowledge you as Lord, Lord of my family, Lord of my finances, Lord of my ministry, Lord of my whatever it is, my job, my children, just to allow that to come to the leader's mind in so many ways. And as I look around sometimes at people that I'm praying with, I let the Lord bring up to me from them almost, what the needs of the people are, and I acknowledge the Lord of that, and then to begin to pray in tongues and tell the people, continue to acknowledge Jesus, whatever comes to your mind, your burdens, your concerns, your fears, just to let that flow into all the different things we need to think of when we say, Jesus, you are Lord. My need to be right, my need to be first, my need to be in control of everything, my lack of trust in you, my fear for my children or my finances, just to let that flow as a full prayer of repentance, constantly going back to, I accept your mercy, Lord, and begin to pray in tongues and let the people hear the Holy Spirit speaking to them as you're praying in tongues. There's things out there that people need to pray for that you have no idea of. That's why the gift of tongues is so beautiful. And you pray in tongues and the Lord gives you the words and gives them the words they need to hear as they listen. And so you have a prayer of repentance and stay with that. Stay with Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord of everything. Jesus, you are my Savior. I take authority in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, over any power of evil that would interfere with the free reign and the full reign of your Holy Spirit. And so you acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, I say that at the same time, Jesus as Savior, and to take authority over Jesus, over the situation, but be careful not to go into a deliverance prayer. I've seen prayer for baptism of the Holy Spirit in a way be sidetracked by people going almost too much into deliverance, too soon, as they're leading people in prayer. But certainly you acknowledge that need to have Jesus as Lord over the situation. And go out to pray for, Peter said, repent, accept Jesus as Lord, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. To begin to pray and have them again pray with you, Lord Jesus Christ, I Pentecost in my midst. I want whatever happened at Pentecost to happen in my life, and to reflect on some of what you hopefully taught as you were preparing them for Pentecost. No, I want, Lord Jesus, I ask you to release the power of your Holy Spirit in my life for a deeper prayer of praise and worship, a prayer of intimacy with you. So pray different ways of prayer coming, relationship with Jesus coming deeper. So the purpose at this point is that they reflect, the essence of it is that it's a gift of the Holy Spirit for a new and deeper and more vibrant relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Father, to the Holy Spirit, and stay with that. And then to go on with that, we heard about the Holy Spirit giving us new strength, new fortitude in difficult times. Again, to pray through that, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my need of you in this difficult time in my life. And just to pray in tongues and let people really bring to mind, now the person behind them is hearing them, can reinforce that they're saying, that is the difficulty that they're going through, the difficulty I have with my children, or the difficulty I have with my, whatever it is. And then complete that by constantly saying, come Lord Jesus, send your Spirit, send your Spirit. When I talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, I also talk about it being a gift for unity. We hear that, but promise, everything God promised of the Holy Spirit. One of the promises of the Holy Spirit is a promise that he will be our God and we will be his people. So I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for unity. I think we have overlooked the power of the Holy Spirit needed to make us a people, to make us a body, to give us unity. So I pray for the prayer of unity. Sometimes I even have people hold hands across an assembly and pray for the gift of unity. And again, the gift of forgiveness of people who've hurt us, healing of broken relationships, healing of wounded hearts, deliverance from anger and hatred, but prayer for unity. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was not just a gift for the people that were there. They were to go out from Pentecost and bring the word of God around the world. So I pray for the outpouring of the gift of the Spirit for mission and for ministry. And to, again, stay with that. Lord, give me a new boldness to proclaim you around the world, to proclaim you with my family, to proclaim you with the people I work with, to proclaim you with the people in my prayer group, in my ministry, in my parish. So again, to have people pray in their own words, but with you, for an outpouring of the gift of mission and for ministry, constantly saying, whatever happened at Pentecost, happened in my life. And then lead them gently into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to lead them into the gift of praying in tongues. I believe the gift of tongues is a very important mark of the Holy Spirit for the charismatic movement in the church. Maybe the most distinguished mark, even though there are many other gifts more powerful. But what distinguishes a simple sharing group or intercessory prayer group from a charismatic prayer group is, I think, the use of the gift of tongues in a way that it can be seen and heard, and to lead the people into the gift of praying in tongues, helping them saying things that will help loosen them up and say, you know, God is very gentle with us. He won't force our mouths open. We need to open our mouths and say, praise you, Jesus. Say an ejaculation, we learn, Jesus, I trust in you. But to give the Lord something to work with, he will not force our mouths open. We need to use our tongues and our voices. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We adore you. We glorify you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And pray in the Spirit. Lead the people gently, gently. Sometimes it will go into a huge outpouring of praise in tongues, like a clap of thunder. But not everybody relates to the Holy Spirit as thunder. Remember, the Holy Spirit came also as the gentle breeze. So quiet the singing in tongues sometimes for the people who will yield gradually, gently. And then I say, now don't listen to yourself. Put your focus on the Lord and let the gift of tongues rise up in you. Listen to the people behind you. And the leadership should be behind them, saying the same prayer and again praying in tongues. So the prayer of whatever happened at Pentecost is very important. And as I conclude a prayer, again over and over again saying, pray with me, I go back to praying for Pentecost, praying in tongues, praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of being able to be a listening spirit and a heart, the gifts of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the charismatic gifts, complement the Isaiah gifts, as we say now, and to pray those gifts as well. For instance, when I was prayed with for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father Jim Ferry said to me, now, what gifts do you want to pray for? And answered, I had never heard of charismatic gifts of the Spirit. All I knew was God was pleased with Solomon because he asked for wisdom, and I was a teacher. So I prayed for wisdom and teaching, the gift of teaching. And when I got back to the classroom where I taught in an inner city high school in New York City, I went back into the classroom and the kids said to me, hey, sister, what happened to you this weekend? You look funny. You look high. And I began to talk about the weekend, but I began to talk about the Holy Spirit. And there was dead silence in the classroom afterwards. And I thought of Pentecost when it said the crowd was cut to the heart. And I remembered I prayed for the gift of teaching. And I realized that I was now using the charismatic gift of teaching. And those gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need to stir them up. Not just the gifts of tongues and prophecy and healing. We need to stir them up. But yes, let's go back and stir up the gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of being able to be a listening ear with the gift of counsel, the gift of fortitude. We need to know that the charismatic gifts can mesh together, each one with one of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. As I conclude a prayer, usually when I'm praying with people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I usually have them just take a moment of silence. But sometimes we can be too busy talking. And I'm afraid as leaders, sometimes we talk too much. And we need to stop with the people and just listen. And just let the Spirit come as that very gentle, wordless Spirit that everyone knows is present when we take time to stop and to listen. At the end of a prayer, I often will say to people, now, don't turn to one another and say, did you get it? If you get it, if it's an it, you can lose it. But to know that everybody's experience is different. And we need to be expectant, yes, but we need to be sensitive. Sensitive to the way God wants to work in our life, which may be different than the person next to us. To be sensitive and to be open. And then to go with the same expectancy we came with. Because for many people, when they're prayed with, they experience nothing. They only experience the release of the Holy Spirit later, sometimes when they're all alone in a room, sometimes when they drive along in a car. And we need to be open to realizing and praying, Lord, show me how you want me to respond to your gift of the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. Sister Nancy, there's so much there in the instructions that you just shared. And whether someone is leading a prayer group, a conference, or praying with a friend or family member, everyone can take back wisdom from what you just shared with us. And, you know, I think there's something exquisite and just really powerful in that you're pointing us to the experience of Pentecost and to what the apostles experienced and even the way Peter preached and shared the gift that he had just received. And, you know, I think there's something there that really points us back to the last words that we see Jesus speaking when he says, wait for the gift my Father promised. And he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that word that is for everyone, and really Jesus' words awaken in our hearts, expectant faith to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us and to be witnesses of Christ going out further and further to the ends of the earth. So we're just overjoyed to have these basic instructions that you shared with us. And Sister Nancy, you know, I remember encountering over the past few years different prayer groups, and every prayer group is different. It's beautiful to see how the Lord forms and cultivates each prayer group. And depending on the place, depending on the people, charismatic prayer meetings look different. But, you know, there was something that was shared with me, and I remember telling you about this. It was a Brazilian renewal leader who said to me, you know, Alicia, I've visited prayer meetings that are happening here in the United States. And she said, I noticed something. You don't pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit at every prayer meeting. And I was laughing. Amen. And I thought, wow, you know, at our prayer meeting, at our prayer meetings at the parish, yes, like we prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit after a Life in the Spirit series, which we had once a year, twice a year, maybe three times a year. And so I was just noticing that difference. But I also noticed the charismatic gifts are being cultivated in a way that is just extraordinary in the Brazilian renewal. And Sister Nancy, yeah, I remember sharing that with you and you sharing with me about the early days of the renewal. So I'd love for those who are listening, I'd love for them just to hear a little bit about what you shared with me of Alicia. In the early days, we didn't have a Life in the Spirit. We prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit at every prayer meeting. If you can just give us some insight as to what that looked like, that would be wonderful.
Well, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We in the beginning, we didn't know what we were doing, and we just had to trust in the Holy Spirit. And then we got to learn some things, and we started leaning on the things we learned rather than the Holy Spirit. So, yes, I've been to places where they say, we don't pray for anyone for the baptism of the Holy Spirit until they've come to the prayer meeting for 8 weeks. Well, I believe the Life in the Spirit seminar is really anointed. But in the early days, we had no Life in the Spirit seminar. We used to say where two or three are gathered together and people were open, we prayed with them for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it happened because God is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And I find sometimes when I've gone around the world too, in different countries, there's a lot of difficulty with laying on of hands. People have thought, well, that's only in the sacraments. And we said, no. We lay on hands on one another, not as a sacramental sign, but as a sign of companionship, of support and love. And so don't be afraid of laying your hands on people. It's a way of saying, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister, supporting you as you make a new journey in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Father Jim Ferry, God bless him. We loved him. We got so much wisdom from him. And a lot of what I teach comes from those early days of learning from Father Jim. But I've also found that people sometimes will come for prayer for the Holy Spirit, and they are hung up on, oh, I'm not worthy. And we say, the gifts are free. A gift is a gift. It's free. It's absolutely free. And unworthiness can be a fear that pulls people back from being prayed with. or a fear of what God might ask of us. One of our sisters, Sister Paul Gloria, I always tell her story. She thought when she gave her life to the Lord and prayed for this outpouring of the Spirit, what if he sent her to the Fiji Islands? And she said, God said to her, Gloria, if I want you to go to the Fiji Islands or any other far-reaching place, then I will put such a desire in your heart to be there, you won't want to be anyplace else. Fear, I think, can also come in a certain sense of pride and self-satisfaction. I've been to places where people say, well, you know, I know God already. I don't need any more. And I remember an old nun said to us, if this is more of God, I want it. Mm. And which one of us can't say we need more of God? So it's, you know, there's that, oh, I don't know exactly how to put it. You know, there's that to be open to whatever God wants for us. And not to get, use structure, yes, the simple outline of a talk or the simple outline of a prayer, but not let structure become the be-all and end-all. I find in some prayer meetings I've been to over the years, they've gone off too much into structure. You know, the prayer meeting is 10 minutes of praise and 10 minutes of reading the scripture and 10 minutes of silence, and there's no flow in and out of the Spirit. I think that frees the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in the individual ways we need it. I don't know if that's what you mean, Alicia, but, you know, that's what I say. Use structure, but don't let the structure become God. Yeah. Let God be God.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Sister Nancy. And, you know, it was impactful for me to hear that. And I think it's impactful for anyone who is zealous for our mission to bring baptism in the Holy Spirit to the whole church. Oh, Lord, that every baptized Christian in the world were fully alive in the Spirit and receive this grace that Jesus speaks of. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. You know, just this extraordinary receiving and sending. And so I think there's just a beautiful particular wisdom that the Lord is giving us through your witness and testimony. Ralph Martin said much of the same. He said, life in the Spirit came about because we were just seeing what the Holy Spirit was doing, and we wanted to facilitate and support what the Spirit was doing with the Life in the Spirit series. So, Lord willing, Life in the Spirit series are taking place all across the nation. Sister Nancy, you and I know we were just in Rome. We made a beautiful pilgrimage, and it was awesome to hear Pope Francis saying to the leaders of the Charismatic Renewal, to those who are gathered in Rome, bring baptism in the Holy Spirit to everyone everywhere. Bring life in the Spirit to everyone everywhere. And so there's this glorious commissioning.
You know what that reminds me of, Alicia? That is charismatic conferences. In the early days of the renewal, the Saturday night of a charismatic conference was the place to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and a powerful outpouring of the Spirit that led into the gifts then. And I've said this to the National Service Committee for years. I go to a conference and they ask me to come and I say, where is the prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit going to be? And often there isn't any. And Saturday night has become the night to do healing. And healing is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But we need to remember to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and let healing flow from that. But this is not a movement that is just focused on healing or the manifestation of a single manifestation, like resting in the Spirit. The manifestations need to be flowing from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think all of us as leaders need to keep reminding us of one another of that. I've been at conferences and I give a teaching and I lead people for the prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I hear people leaving and say, oh, we haven't had a conference like that in a long time, because we haven't prayed for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe in a long time at our charismatic conferences.
Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate you sharing that. It's so wild to hear a woman who lives life as a religious. She shared with me, she said, I'd never heard of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, though I have been living life as a nun and as a sister who is consecrated to the Lord for years and love the Lord, know the Lord. and maybe have experienced different aspects of the Catholic charismatic renewal. But she said, I just happened to be at a conference, and she said, though I had never heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit before, the person who was leading at this conference prayed for that grace, and she said, let me tell you, I received it, and now I want to bring it to my entire religious community.
Praise God.
And
hallelujah.
So, yes, so it was just awesome to hear that, yes, that witness and that testimony. So, Sister Nancy, we're so humbled, so thankful to have you here with us, and I would love to just close our time together in prayer for all who are joining us. And I'll pray, and then if you want to close so that both of us are praying, just that the Lord will anoint all who are listening now to share this grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we come before you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we stand in awe of you. Father, we magnify you for how you sent your only begotten Son to die for us, that we might live. And even now, Lord Jesus, we stand in our identity in you, and we ask in your name, Lord Jesus, that you would send your Spirit, that you would baptize us in your Spirit, that we might go out as witnesses. And even now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask for a divine unity in the body of Christ, even as you pour out your Spirit. Glory to you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
We do acknowledge you, Jesus, as Lord of our lives. And we come and we repent. We repent of our own sinfulness. We acknowledge our need of you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior. We accept your mercy. And we accept your forgiveness. We forgive ourselves. We come before you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you be Lord of every part of our lives. We accept you as Lord. We take authority in your name, Lord Jesus, over anything that would interfere with the free reign and the full reign of your Holy Spirit in our life. We ask you to Pentecost in our midst, Lord. We want more of you, Lord God, more of your love, more of your power, more of your wisdom, more of you, Lord. We want more of you for our relationships. We pray for healing of our relationships through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can forgive anyone who's hurt us in any way. And we come, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to give us a new boldness to proclaim you to those around us immediately and to those you send us around the world. Jesus, you are Lord, and there is no other.
Praise
Lord,
God. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill our hearts. Fill our minds. Fill our bodies. Fill every aspect of our lives. Come, Lord Jesus. Be Lord of our lives. We give you everything. We surrender everything.
We pray for a new Pentecost, Lord, on all of our priests. We pray for a new Pentecost on the bishops and of the United States and the bishops of the world. We pray for a new Pentecost, Lord God, for a renewal of your church. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. We pray for Pentecost for this nation. We pray for the Pentecost gift of unity this year in this nation. We come and we pray that you take authority over any spirit that's not of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that you bring us into a new unity in this country as brothers and sisters. We pray, Lord God, for anybody who's in despair in this country. We pray for anyone who's thinking of suicide. We take authority, Lord God, over that person's mind and heart to show them that you are loved, you love them, and they are loved. We take authority, Lord God, over any spirit of depression. We ask you to bind up our wounds, Lord God, by your love, by your personal unconditional love, but by your saying our name and saying to each one of us, I know you, I love you, I know everything you've ever done, and I love you. Nothing can separate you from my love. I love you now, here and now, through and through. We pray for the leadership of the Charismatic Renewal in the United States. We pray for the National Service Committee of the United States. We pray for CARIS leadership in the United States and around the world. We pray for the international leadership of CARIS. We bind up any wounds that people have been hurt by prayer groups, by leaders in prayer groups. We pray for a fresh outpouring of that gift of unity. So from that can come a fresh outpouring of the gift of mission. We pray for the youth of our country. We pray for a revival of faith in our youth. We just encourage everybody listening to pray for their children and their grandchildren. Pray for them by name. Visualize them. And pray for them. Pray for those who've been alienated from the church, alienated from their family, from their parents. Pray for reconciliation and healing of our youth. Pray for reconciliation of marriages. We ask you to bless the union of man and woman in marriage. Reconcile broken marriages, Lord.
Lord, we lift up to you all who hunger and thirst, all who are longing to be filled with your Spirit, all who are longing to know you and maybe don't know it yet. Lord Jesus, even now we lift up to you all who are spiritually poor, all who are living in this world and for this world. And Lord, we ask in your name that you would send your Spirit now, that there would be, Lord, an awakening of desire to live for eternal glory, to choose what is lasting and to receive the kingdom of heaven come here on earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit. Bring new life. Let our thirst meet your thirst, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the awesome grace of praying with Sister Nancy, Father, we hold before you the work of our mission to bring baptism in the Holy Spirit to the whole church, to build unity in the body of Christ, and to serve the poor spiritually and physically. And Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit now to raise up, to connect, to equip, and to anoint renewal leaders in the church and in the world. Lord, that there would be such an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that from those who are the youngest of the youngest to those who are the oldest of the oldest would experience your Spirit falling afresh on them now and sending them. Animate us, move us,
yes,
that we Lord. Might magnify
Amen.
You.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, God. We pray all of this for your glory and your honor yes. as we pray. All glory be to the Father, and to
and
the Son,
and
to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now,
and ever shall be,
world
without end. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sister Nancy, we are just so thankful for your witness, for your teaching, for your mighty prayers, and I know that you are going to be leading a time for prayer for baptism in the Holy Spirit at our Pentecost Vigil launch of the 9-year novena, and so I'm just so overjoyed by all the many ways you pour into the work of the Holy Spirit here in our nation and really throughout the world. So thank you again for being our guest today.
You're welcome. I enjoy it. Thank you, Alicia. God bless you and your work.
Absolutely. God be with you. And to all who are listening, we want to invite you, if you have not yet, go out to PentecostTodayUSA.org and join the novena. It's just a quick click. Enter your name and your email address. That's all you need to do, and you'll see invitations to pray. You'll see invitations to connect with others who are praying, and we so look forward to seeing how the Holy Spirit will fulfill our prayer for a new and ongoing Pentecost in the renewal, in the church, and in the world. God be with you all.